Are you ready?
I was fucking born ready to podcast, bro.
All right. Instant two. I wonder what
and
that
if
means.
If I concentrate, I'm trying not to pop my S's too much. I don't think it's too obvious about my teeth being gone. If I just talk, I try to enunciate.
I see. Well, level. Saying the word S's wasn't a very... That was a pretty...
No, that's... That's tough.
Yeah.
Still going to slip through.
All right. We're going to make it. It'll be fine. All right. Very well. Let's do it. Let me just get a little tea ready here. Sorry.
Yeah. You need some caffeine.
I don't even think this is caffeinated tea, but it's the idea of caffeine that I like to drink tea sometimes. I don't even drink caffeinated tea. I just go like, yeah, all right, I'll just have some tea, and I feel like I'm doing something good. It smells good.
Nice.
It's too hot. Okay, let's do this. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1. 3, 2, 1. Record. You're listening to League of Ordinary Gentlemen Curbcast, Season 10, Episode 5. Insufficient Praise. It's the title of this Curb episode. And, you know, there we go. I want to say right off the bat, the last two were, you know, they were good. And we talked a lot last week about how that was a very Seinfeld, a sort of late-era Seinfeld-esque type episode.
Yeah.
With, like, oh, they're going... They went to Cabo and all that. And this one, I feel like, is a more of a Curb. This is a very Curb. It's a Curb.
It's a Curb. It's not a Seinfeld Curb. It's not a a Buster Keaton or Three Stooges Curb. It's a Curb.
This is a Curb. Yeah. This is what the show is all about. So I was very... happy with this one. I mean, the last two weeks were very funny, but this one I think I just really enjoyed a lot. This was exactly what I want from my Curb. And there was a lot of people. We'll get into it, of course, but there's a lot of guests on this show. Of course,
Clive Owen,
of course.
Big deal.
Vince Vaughn as Freddie Funkhauser. I almost didn't
his
recognize
half brother.
Him.
It's half he looks, brother.
Yeah, his half brother. Like he looks like I don't want to say like I mean I knew who he was, but I was like, oh my god, that's Vince Vaughn. He looks like he's lost a little weight.
True Detective season 2.
Ooh, yeah, that was a rough one. I didn't like
did
that
watch?
Season.
Yeah,
I watched
that was
it,
the
but
last
I didn't.
Time he was around, kind of doing stuff.
Yeah, and he realized
you didn't recognize him really. I was like, oh.
Well, I mean, it took me a second.
I thought he looked money. I thought he was so money.
Well, that's what I know. I thought he looked so good that I didn't recognize him because he had gotten really fat for a little while.
Mm.
Kind of, you know what I mean? Like in the face. Isla Fisher, is that how you pronounce her name? I assume Isla Fisher, who was also in Wedding Crashers with Vince Vaughn. And she was in Tag, and she's been in a lot of stuff. She's really funny. I like her a lot.
I still haven't seen Tag.
Tag is funny. Like, I thought it would be so stupid, but it's really funny.
Can I tell you the weird reason why I don't think I like that movie? Is it because it's based on, like, a real thing?
It's loosely based on a real thing. It's not.
Loosely.
It's not like they take the exact story. They take the idea of these guys playing this lifelong game of tag and, you know, but they don't base it on real life. Like, I mean, it is real life, but it's not.
Okay.
They write their own script.
On a scale of 1 to horrible bosses, where would you land it? Is it as good? It doesn't need to be great, but is it as good as horrible bosses? Because if it is, I'll watch it.
It's. I think it's pretty close to horrible bosses.
Okay, cool. That's enough for me.
I thought it was, and it's got John Hamm, it's got Jeremy Renner, and it's got Fat Spider-Man, Jake Johnson, Nick Miller Spider-Man. And it's like, I didn't think, though, because I thought, like, oh, this sounds really like dumb. Yeah. I thought it would be really dumb. I thought this movie is going to stink. But for some reason, it was on HBO or whatever one night. And I'm like, all right, I'll watch it. And I laughed, like, a lot. It was really funny.
And you hate everything.
Yeah, exactly. I hate everything. So if I say it's good, it's got to be good.
Cool.
Yeah. And I didn't hate this Curb. So let's get right into this. But yeah, I look
before we start talking about whether it's as good as Horrible Bosses 2, which is still a tolerable movie, but not as good. But it has Chris Evans. So.
Oh, I never saw the second one. So I got to say, I don't know. But I didn't think it was a movie that warranted a 2. That's for sure.
Yeah.
No. One and done for that.
But, yep.
All right. So here we go. Larry and Leon are in his house and they're unpacking stuff from his parents' house. Now, does this mean what does this mean for his dad? Does this mean his dad is dead? Have we discussed this
before? Yeah, it's gotta be.
Probably means his dad is dead.
Yeah.
Because his mom died like a few seasons ago and that was a hilarious moment. But we haven't seen his dad, really, I don't think, in a while. Since remember he bought him the weed? Do you remember?
Yeah.
So his dad is either dead or maybe in a nursing home or something. I don't know. But clearly he doesn't have this stuff. So Larry is going through this stuff that his parents kept. And he's saying, he can't believe it. He pulls out a baseball glove he had when he was 8. And he's like, oh, you know how many errors I made in this with this glove? And Leon says, everybody with polio or everybody would play with that glove had polio. Like he thought.
Well, yeah. Well, the setup is he was like, must have been tough playing the infield with polio. And he's like, I didn't have polio. He's like, yeah, anybody had that glove had polio.
It's he's kind of, I guess that's an age joke there. But he pulls out his mom's mink stole. And the mink stole, like, oh, my mom, I can't throw this out. Because Larry's throwing all this stuff away. He mentions he can't believe his dad saved all this. But he can't throw away this mink stole. This is his mom's thing. And he loves it. He's going to take it to the dry cleaner. And Leon goes, yes, please.
I just have to interject. You know how I had the dental surgery to match myself with the last episode? Last week, my dad tells me, he's like, going through your mom's stuff. I have this like fur coat. He's like, what? I didn't know what to do with this fur coat. So he ends up going and taking my mom's fur coat down to like some lady. And in a like kind of a Larry David thing, she's like, oh, no, I don't want this. But my daughter wants the coat. She just opened up a store. So then he drives all the way over to Hingham.
Oh, my
talks
God.
To this girl and is like, I just hear like, can you take this on consignment or whatever? She's like, yeah, but you know, if it doesn't sell, then you know, I don't know what to tell you. And my dad's just like, well, whatever it is, try to get me, you know, $100. Try to get me some money for it.
Sure.
But if it doesn't sell, he's like, just gonna say, well, you can have it and sell it some other time.
Wow. Like okay.
You know. Because, you know, how consignment works. You do that with your comics, right?
Like, yeah, absolutely. And half the stores are still sitting there.
So. And he just, it's like a fur coat, and it's like, a fur coat is definitely out of fashion, you know what I mean? Like,
fur.
More vegan and stuff these days.
Right.
Not apparently in L.A., but for this particular episode, Curb. But I just thought it was funny. I was like, he's talking about his mom's fur, you know, mink stole. And I was like, I can't believe this just happened to me too.
Yeah, isn't that wild? You're like psychically linked.
I'm having like parallel lives to the show. It's really bizarre. It's like this is a very specific thing, like his mom's fur coat.
Yeah, it is. That's not something you run into all the time.
Yeah,
Leon does say that they are coming back.
Yeah, he does. He does say that. And so maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. I mean, Leon doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. But like, he goes through this thing and he's like, this whole thing about back then, oh yeah, women wore those and, you know, guys called women toots and women said poop poopy doop.
Poop poopy doop.
Poop poopy doop. And Larry's like, why did Why do women say boop boop be doop? Is that like a what do you call her?
Like Betty Boop.
Betty Boop, right. That's like a Betty Boop thing he's doing there. Boop boop be doop. And he was, and he says, like, man, I knew if a girl's, if I lived in the 40s and a woman said poop poop be doop, I know I'd be hitting that.
Yeah, and he says, no, I'd be tapping that ass.
I'm sorry, he'd be tapping that ass. Yeah. Sorry.
He puts on a stole.
He puts on one of those little hats.
It's like a fur hat too. It's like a fur hat.
He's like, if I live back then, he's like all by himself. Larry leaves because he gets like a text or the doorbell rings or whatever it is. And he leaves. And Leon is just like talking to himself, putting on all this stuff. He's talking how much pussy he'd be getting back.
Well, this might be my favorite line of the episode, because he was like, oh, I'd be tapping so much ass or whatever. Then he goes, fucking in black and white. I just thought about how hilarious that is.
In black. He would see it black and white.
It would be like Roger Rabbit or I guess it would be like almost like the Aha video or something. Like, I don't
or
know.
Like, yeah, like Pleasantville or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That.
You go Pleasantville.
Back in the movie.
Fucking in black and white.
Like, but I'm
tapping so much ass, fucking in black and white, and that's just like immediately like we're off to the races. It's another great. It's the best way to introduce the show is have him and Leon be there.
Yeah, I feel like most of the episodes this season have started off that way. So, but this is a great. Yeah, it's a great start to the episode. You're right. So we get the mailman back. Again, John Daly is back as the mailman from, was that the first episode, I think, where he told them that he should wear pants.
Is his name Lionel or something?
Yeah, I don't remember his name, but he says, if you're going to confront someone, please do it wearing pants, like all that, you know. That,
he's
so
like,
he's,
but I'm at work. I have a work grievance. This is my work outfit.
Yeah. So now he's got a package for Larry. It's, and he gives him a wink. He's like, package for you, Larry. And he's like, oh, all right. And Larry doesn't get it, but he's kind of like, And he hands it to him, but it's discreet shipping, which I didn't know. I didn't even know that was a thing, but I guess it is.
For things like puncture on it.
That's right. It's also a dog puncture. And it's from Freddie Funkhauser, who we will soon know, although we've already mentioned. It is Vince Vaughn. So he opens it up, and Leon is there too. And Leon laughs, and you know, it's one of those inflatable sex dolls,
and like the old school kind,
right? Like definitely, like from the '70s, or you know, I think those were. But Leon says they're great now, like they're modern, and he says if you could give them a hickey, right, or something like that,
yeah. He's talking about like those like real life sex dolls that they always have like specials on HBO, you know, or like Vice News. Right. They're like it's sex. A real, you know, it's like a guy, yeah. And you can like pick what kind of dick you want to screw onto it. Or if it's a girl, it's like you pick like what size their mouth and her butthole is, like all this stuff. And they like look like real people and it feels like real skin and all like all weird. All super weird.
Well, how Larry says,
not that there's anything wrong with that.
I'm glad they're making advances on this. But yeah, you're right. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But
I think the people that are listening to the comic book / Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast are probably in the Venn diagram of people that might want to have one of these sex robot dolls. So
that would be the stereotype, I guess. You're right.
Yeah.
So he tells Leon to get rid of it, and he tells him to get rid of the box and clean up a little bit because the house is a mess, which plays into later on. He's remarked that the house is kind of a mess, and he was wiping some dust off and everything like that. So this is now I hope you thought of me. I don't know. We've never had discussions maybe like this, but I was wondering as I was watching this, I wonder if Clay was thinking of me. He's in the next scene. He's in Latte Larry's with the designer guy. I don't even know who this. What title this guy is.
Like, yeah, well, I think he's like his His contractor, or his architect. Yeah, sure. Here, something like that. Yeah, the guy that's helping him build out his store.
Right. And Larry, he's talking about where the bathrooms are, and then he's talking about exactly how the bathrooms are going to look. And the guy says, you're going to redesign urinals? And he's like, oh, yeah. So it's got this whole thing with planks.
The way that was cut, too, like the way he was talking to the contractor is like very Curb. Like, because you think that the guy is going to call him, like, ridiculous, but he's like, yeah, that's a very common problem. Or he says it's like, I forget exactly what he said.
Because he
like,
says...
it's an epidemic or something, you know. Yeah, what I mean? Right. So it starts out with like some tension, where the guy's gonna be like, "You're fucking crazy," but then you like realize, like, no, he's along for the ride here. Okay,
yeah, this guy's into it because he's like, "I'm gonna, you're gonna redesign urinals." He's like, "Oh yeah," and the guy's like, "Yeah, all right." Like he's all into it, and like he's like, "Well, you want these planks that go up or whatever?" Larry's explaining to him. He's like, and I love the way he says it, like. So your feet never touch the ground. Why not? He's like, because that's where the puddles are. And it's true. All right. I mean, let's face it. I don't know if there are any women listeners. You've never been in a, you probably never used a urinal, right? But there's puddles all around them. They're gross.
Yeah it's gross. But sometimes it's, there's so many different kinds of puddles. Because sometimes there might be a, like a something wrong with the way it's connected. It could just be water.
It could be
water. But you don't know.
Right. Assume I'm not going to take a chance.
Assume the worst.
Yeah, exactly.
It could just be water, though, because there's water connected to the wall, and there could, a lot of things could go wrong there. But, yeah, you don't know. How are you to know?
Yeah. And this guy, and so Larry has designed this P-cube, as he calls it. In which, like, you go, you urinate right into it, and he wants maybe some kind of suction device that'll suck the urine in, so there won't be any puddles, there won't be anything, it can go right in.
Right.
And this guy, you're right, this guy's, like, on board, and he's like, okay, and we can design, and then,
he's so like, this is my next. Two planks, yeah. You walk up to the urinal. He's like, what if and someone gets urine on the planks?
Yeah, so this is why we have the P-cube. You see, because it will suction it in. And then he says, okay, so urinal's here, and then the toilet's over there. He's like, oh, no, there won't be any toilets.
Which the only thing I thought of was, is he not expecting any women customers that need to pee?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's only discussing a men's room? I'm not sure. Like, they didn't specify.
Pretty small place. I think you have to have one unisex... all gender restroom.
I mean, that's another thing to think about.
See, I think that's going to come up later. It's going to be like, well, where's
with his
to go to the bathroom? Maybe. And then they have to go to Latte Larry's to use his bathroom.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry. Mocha Joe's. Sorry. I get the spice stores mixed up again.
No, I think that's obviously going to come up. But yeah, so at this point, Larry's just no defecation. There'll be no defecation. So I guess, I mean, he's not specifically saying no ladies' rooms. He's just saying there'll be no defecation, which, of course, I guess. I don't know. He's not getting specific, but he's very specific about there'll be no defecation. He said, what if someone has to do that? Well, he can go somewhere else. Larry doesn't care. He's only opening this store to spite Mocha Joe.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
But I do like it. Oh, no, there will be no. It's so like. The contractor guy is coming up with this whole like penis like analyzer thing that will just like say penis detected.
I hope that was improv on that actor's part, because he was like, do you want to make it so they can't shit in there? He's like, how would you do that? He's like, I would put a penis sensor in, and then it would make a little noise. Penis detected.
I know. I hope that was something that he just came up with on the fly, because it's really ridiculous.
It was hilarious. That's why.
So no toilets in Larty Larry, I guess, is basically that's good stuff. That's hot. That's Curb comedy right there.
Sure is.
All right. So Mocha Joe comes in with Ted Danson, his new financial backer. So now Ted is spiting his Larry's spite store.
Yeah.
Basically. which is funny because it goes back to the first episode or the second episode of the season where he says, I don't know what a spite store is and I don't care. But now he does care because now he's in it.
Yeah.
And I like Larry makes a reference to General Lee. They even play that old timey, like Southern Civil War music.
Right.
That like, you know, kind of stuff. And he's like, well, as I do recall, or whatever, Larry, General Lee was a loser.
Yeah.
So ridiculous. So anyway, yeah. So Ted is now embroiled in this whole thing. So we'll see what happens there. Obviously, comedy will ensue. And the next we get it's Jeff. So Clive Owen is now Jeff's new client.
Right.
And he's got this one man show, and Larry wants to go, Larry goes with Jeff and they sit, they're just in previews right now. So, Larry and Jeff go, and it's very, well, first of all, it's very much like they must have loved writing. I don't know who wrote that, or maybe Clive Owen came up with it or whatever, but it's really, it's so good. Like, it's so cheeseball, like stage, you know, like one person show kind of thing. You know what I mean? Where he's got this really fake looking beard on, and he's talking about like his parakeet. I mean, it's all serious. I mean, it's so goofy. If you listen to it, it's just hilarious. So whoever, Clive Owen must have enjoyed it. They all probably got a good laugh at that. And then there are women crying in the audience. So
Yeah.
So they go back to Jeff's house. Larry's like, oh, that was really good. It was really good. And Jeff says, oh, he says, tell Clive I really liked it. And Jeff says, I'll tell you what, you tell him yourself. And he calls him up, which I mean, come on, that's, that is horrible. Wouldn't you hate that if you were Larry? I would hate that.
Yeah, maybe that's just a showbiz thing. Maybe that happens all the time. I don't know.
Yeah, it probably is. You're probably right. Because Jeff even makes sort of a reference to that later on. But so he hands his phone to Larry, goes to Clive Owen's voicemail, and he goes, hi, Clive. I saw your show and I really liked it. Good job or whatever, you know, and it's very, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, then we find, so Susie's there and, their housekeeper is there. So this is I knew this would obviously go back to his dirty house. And, you know, Susie is being Susie with this housekeeper. He's like, she's like, you iron the fucking napkins, you know, or, oh, you're going to clean my fucking brushes. You know, I mean, she's swearing her head off at this, you know, about how great this woman is. Yeah. And the woman, so Larry's like, oh, I need a new housekeeper. And he says, and she's like, oh, well, she's free Tuesday and Thursday, but I got Monday and Wednesday. How dirty. I mean, we've hired a cleaning service to clean our apartment. And we don't need them twice a week. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, well, I know maybe they do their laundry and shit like a certain day or something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. But anyways, twice a week. I guess it's another rich people LA thing, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so anyways, Larry's going to get her Tuesday, Thursday. Susie gets her Monday, Wednesday. And there you go. So the next scene, we meet Freddy Funkhauser. We meet Vince Vaughn, who looks good. I'm just saying that right now. I don't think I said that with enough aplomb earlier. I think he looks great. He looks money.
Oh, you said, he does. He looks money. And I thought you were saying, he looks, I didn't even recognize him. But you're saying that in a good way.
In a good way, because he had gotten, I thought, in like the sort of mid-2000s, say. He was getting kind of old. Or maybe around 2010, let's say. I don't know. He was fat. Gross.
But you said you did see True Detective, so he wasn't fresh in your mind
From no, I didn't. The way you looked, I put that on.
You emptied that recycling bin. You're like,
kind of? Yeah, I did.
To the curb. Yeah. You don't even remember.
You know that noise? You know that noise a computer makes when you dump them?
Yeah. That's what happened.
Yeah. So, anyway, Larry's like, what are you doing? They're at a newsstand, which is funny. I don't know. Did the people do that in LA, I guess, too? I don't know.
I guess so. I guess so much stuff we don't know. why is he hanging out with him? And is that Marty's his
uncle?
Dad? He says
this is Uncle Mark. So maybe is it
Marty's dad? Maybe
no, because Marty's dad died. We know that Marty died.
Oh, okay.
Because remember there was that game where he wanted to go to Funkhauser had this extra seat at the mm-hmm. Dodger game.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry had a shitty seat and he wanted to sit next to Funkhauser, and Funkhauser wouldn't let him. He said, that's my dad's seat, but his dad is dead. And Larry told him, your dad is dead. And then there was another episode where his mom died and he said, oh, little orphan Funkhauser.
With the flowers? The flower memorial. And didn't he take the flowers from it and give them to somebody else?
Yeah, it was something like that.
That's what I remember from that episode.
I just remember when he was telling him, he was out like, and he's like, because Funkhauser was out jogging. And he said it helps him, you know, deal with the bad memories of his parents dead. And Larry's sitting there eating ice cream. And he's just talking about how he loves to lick around the edges of the ice cream cone and all that stuff. So, so I don't know who this guy is. Uncle Mark is what that's all I know. But he is actually... If any Godfather 2 fans out there, this guy was Carmine. His name is Carmine Caridi, and he played Carmine Rosado in The Godfather Part 2. So he was obviously a lot younger then. So, but yeah, he did a lot.
Brady and his uncle and Larry like all just hanging out together at the newsstand? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, it is. It makes a little sense to me because apparently Uncle Mark likes to buy porno mags, right? But I don't know why Larry's there. Larry, I guess he just wanted to hang out with Freddy Funkhauser. But because Uncle Mark is there. And he's like, hey, where's my section? And he's like, right there, Uncle. So the section of must be the porn section, obviously.
But this is truly good Vince Vaughn like dialogue. It was like earmuffs. Like just the way he like, you know, the way he delivers. I'm a fan. Not gonna lie.
He said, I'm a fan.
Good to have him back.
It's good to have him back too. This is the Vince Vaughn, that I like. I don't really want serious Vince Vaughn or whatever, you know. Like I like this is funny too, because Larry's telling him about like, he's like, what are you doing buying me a sex doll? What are you doing? And he's like, it's not a gag gift. It's like a real gift. And he's like, what do you expect me to fuck this thing? And he's like, hey, it's your journey or whatever. Doesn't he say he said something like that?
Yeah. Whatever journey you want to go on.
Yeah. Whatever journey you're on. You know, they have different kinds and all this stuff.
And the necrophilia thing was gross, but like really hilarious.
Yeah, he's like, why don't you just have sex with a dead woman? He's like, well, I don't have to. If I want to have sex with a dead woman, I'd have sex with a doll. And
imagination.
Yeah, right. And he's like, you know, it's clean, right?
Yeah.
There's no disease. Like, he's really selling him on this doll. So anyways, the guy who's running the newsstand is yelling at Uncle Mark because he's looking at a spread out, like a what do they call those? A portfolio. What do they call those things?
Centerfold, bro.
Centerfold.
That baby is a centerfold. Jay Giles.
Angel is a centerfold. Angel. Not baby. But
it's part of the lyrics. I didn't have it completely wrong.
My blood runs cold. Yeah. So anyway, he's like, I can't believe I forgot centerfold. But anyway, he's like, oh, you're going to buy it? And the guy's like, oh, hey, I'm a buyer. I'll buy it. So Vince Vaughn is going over to deal with that guy. Larry walks over to Uncle Mark. He's like, you still buy these? All the porn on the internet? And you're still buying magazines? And like Uncle Mark is this is news to him.
Yeah, you what?
He's like, yeah, I have a computer.
My kids got me a computer. Yeah. I never use it.
Like, just check it out. It's porn on the internet. So
picture that old man like Peck, Hunt and Peck typing. Then like P-O-R-N. Enter.
Yeah. Probably doesn't know about the incognito mode. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Probably does not.
Anyway, the next scene is sort of the pivotal. This is Isla Fisher as Richard Lewis's girlfriend. So Larry's having lunch with Lewis and
all right. And how ridiculous is it that both of these guys are like pulling in these hot girls?
Yeah, she's like 30 years younger than him. It's
ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Probably 40. I mean, they are rich. It is like the thing that Jeff said.
Sure.
You could have a.
It's funny too, like in the show, and I mean,
Felix the Cat on it.
I know. I mean, it's yeah, whatever he said. You could wear the Abe Lincoln hat. You could, but they're. Anyway, so yeah, I don't know how they're pulling these hot women, but they are. So at least Larry's is a little more. I mean, probably not. No, I shouldn't even say that. I find Isla Fisher to be more attractive than the women Larry's been dating, but we shouldn't really judge people like that.
But, yeah, I guess not. I mean,
that's just
with
my
Lewis
opinion.
And Isla Fisher, though, it's like, it's a big stretch.
Yeah, that's a bit of a stretch. I mean, Lewis
but notice the age difference.
Right.
Especially with the, I think Larry calls him 200 years old later.
That's the girl. That's a great line. He says, because Lewis says, I could have had a baby with this woman. And Larry says, a baby? You're 200 years old. You're going to have a baby. All right. So they're at lunch and they're talking and she's cold. Larry wants to turn on the heat lamp. They have kind of a funny discussion with the table next to them, who are total jerks about it. They don't want to turn on the heat lamp because they're comfortable.
By the way, I have to ask you this. Man yeah. to man, do you live with a woman that is always cold?
Constantly no.
Constantly complaining about, I'm cold. I need a blanket. I'm cold. I'm cold. I'm cold. It's cold in here. It's cold.
No. No. Rachel doesn't. No.
She does like guess.
To be cozy. She does like to be. Yeah, I'll guess what your answer to that question is.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I assume you were going to say that, yes, you live with a woman who is always cold.
Constantly cold. Constantly cold. And, hey, I would want to turn on the heat lamp thing outside, too. Those restaurant heat lamp things are awesome.
They are pretty awesome, yeah. But I don't know. They live in L.A. I'm surprised that they even have heat lamps up out there, to be honest.
Well, they can't let it get to be like 70 degrees. It's like too cold for them.
It's true. 70 is too cold. Well, anyway, those people are warm. It's kind of ridiculous. I mean, those people are real dicks about it. Like, it's almost too much. And they have a discussion about whether, like, when you're, they have that debate, that long held debate about, well, if you're cold, you can put more on, but if you're too hot, then that's it. You're just stuck being too hot. And
right.
And Larry's like, well, yeah, it's a good point if you have more to put on. But like the guy throws the napkin at him.
But he's like, cover up with this.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, put this on. And he's like, all right, asshole. So Larry has the stole in his car because he's taking it to the dry cleaning. He brings it. He's like, yeah, put this on. So then Isla Fisher tells a story about her mother had a stole like that. And it's the most. This is the craziest story ever. It's like, but like they really get into it. It almost sounds like a Bruce Wayne thing or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it does.
They went to see La Cage aux Folles, and then like they took the train after because there were no cabs, and then they get in a fight, and the stole gets like sort of thrown on the tracks when her parents are fighting, and her mother jumps onto the tracks to. Try to get the stole. The train was bearing down and you could hear the horn and and she's crying and crying.
And her Larry, mom's scratching her way up.
Yeah,
that particular line stood out to me too. She was scratching her way up. I was like, damn.
Like clawing her. Oh, and the scratch. Yeah, and Larry and Lewis are like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And Larry says, you know, keep the stone. You know, she's like, I don't have anything to remember her by. And or I have so few things to remember by. And I said, keep the stone. Keep the stone. And like, and
he
then
says something funny, which is like, he's like, if my mother were here, she would give you the stone. She wouldn't, but
right. And then she gets a text. She's got to go to work, and she recovers like instantly. She's like, I got to go to work, but thank you, bye, and I'm sorry. And they're all like, oh, see you later.
Yeah, she stops crying, and then it's like,
yeah,
oh, I didn't get to eat lunch. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Yeah. So they're talking about that story, what a story it is, and then like, oh, can you believe it? And then Larry's like, I can't believe she can even go to work. What does she do? Oh, she's a professional crier. And Larry's like, what? And he instantly says, I think I've just been fleeced for that stole. And Lewis is like, oh, you piece of shit. How could you?
Yeah.
But I looked it up. So there are people, they're called professional mourners. But
oh, really?
But apparently, yeah, I don't think that's it. There's not a lot of people, but there are people. There was a thing that went around on the internet a couple of years ago about this guy in the Bahamas who you can hire for your funeral, and he'll cry at your funeral. And he posted his
friend or something.
Well, if he will make sure that somebody is crying, not that if you have no friends, no, but he'll cry there.
Oh.
Because who wants to go to a funeral without anyone crying?
Right.
So he's got, he actually posted his rates. He's just, it's really, so for normal crying, $50. He'll normal cry for $50. But since he's, now this is in the Bahamas, he says Bahamian crying, Bahamian hollering, $100. Crying and rolling on the ground, $150. Crying and threatening to jump into the grave, $200. And crying and actually jumping into the grave, $1,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
But I guess it's the idea is, and it's the same idea that they talk about here, is that crying is infectious, and one person crying will start other people crying. But anyway, so yeah, Larry's like, and he's convincing Lewis that, like, he's, you know, she's using her professional crying abilities to, you know, like get what she wants all the time. They make up a thing about Chinese food versus Italian, and she wanted Chinese food and cried. And Larry's like, "Oh, let me guess, you got Chinese food." So, anyways, she's getting the stole, and I love this line. He says, "She's a con crier." Because he just got conned out of his stole. So he's like, she's a con crier. This is also, but this next scene is also like one of my favorite things. So he comes home after that, and Larry sees the doll is there, sitting on his couch.
Yeah.
All blown up. And the housekeeper comes by, and she asks about it. And Larry has this great, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I collect them. They're like big teddy bears. And he says, oh, they usually come with clothes. And she's like, oh, yeah, it's naked. And he's like, yeah, no, they, you know, they usually come with clothes like American Girl dolls, which I thought was. But even in his description of the kinds of clothes they come with, yeah, they're like, sort of, it's like schoolgirl, nurse, and
nurse. House.
Yeah, and maids. Like, it's like, oh, God. Yeah, well, he's probably not wrong, but. Anyways. Try that's pretty, and then she wants to clean it, and he's like, no, that's no, don't worry about it. So anyway, she tells him she needs to change her days. She's leaving Susie because of the swearing. Doesn't want to clean her house anymore because of the swearing. Everything is F this, F that. So even and though she
does go down to clean the thing, it makes you think maybe someone has had.
Yeah, because she cleans the crotchal area,
And she kind of looks like she's like going down on on it too. It was really pretty sick.
No, it was pretty sick.
Like, these dolls, you know how you're saying, like, this delivered in a classic Curb way? If you don't leave having watched this and feel, like, really uncomfortable, like I did after this one, then you haven't had a good Curb episode.
So, right.
I definitely felt weird at the end. And I was like, whoa.
But I love that. Yeah, like the American Girl. So anyways, so Larry's going to take Susie's days, is basically, even though he agreed not to. But
I made a pact.
Yeah. But she's like, but you're leaving anyway. And she's like, yeah, I'm leaving them. So he's like, all right, fine. You know,
I love that him and Susie's, like, arguments are like fucking complete yelling matches of the fuck you, Larry, and I can't believe you did that. But then, like, he's there making, you know, food with them
or yeah, whatever. He's hanging out with them.
Like immediately, like that he's even can go back over there like the next day is like all is forgiven. Even back to the painting and everything.
Yeah, they've completely gone out, like, they've completely, like, thrown any kind of realism or any kind of, like, out, that's all out the window. Like, I used to sometimes try to be like, well, you know, Jeff's client, or, you know, or he works with Jeff and blah, blah, blah. But it's not.
So he has to be there.
There's, like, no real reason. There's no logic to it. Like, yeah.
I don't know people that are like actors that have managers, but bands and their managers, like, they definitely don't hang out with each other. You know what I mean? Like, they would never do that.
Well, yeah, I think they're friends and they're in business together. But I used to think, like, well, Susie just puts up with them for that, but really there's no logic anymore. It's just the way so anyway, the other funny. Right. Why am I
trying to put logic behind it?
Yeah, I know. I mean, but I used to do it too. I used to be like, why would you even hang out with this person? Like, if you're Susie, why wouldn't you just be like, you know, fuck you and all that. But anyways, it doesn't matter. So we find out the next minute after the housekeeper leaves, like, Leon shows up and Larry's like, what are you doing? You blow this up? And he's like, yeah, you mean Sherry? He named the doll Sherry, and you know, Leon kind of likes it. But and Larry's like, "Did you fool around? Did you get, you know, familiar with the doll?
Did you get friendly with her?" I think
friendly. And he's like, and Leon is kind of insulted, and he kind of looks at him, and he's like, "Why do you always look at me like that?" He's kind of tilts his head back. He's like, "I'm looking into your brain, looking into your soul." And so they have this kind of debate. It's almost like the old Curb stare, you know, the old, like, which they haven't done still.
It's kind of like the
different version of that, where they're kind of staring up, they're both kind of looking up at each other, but looking up and looking, tilting up and looking down, kind of like weird staring at each other. But Larry does again say, get rid of it, right? I don't remember, but the inference is there to get rid of this thing, get rid of this doll.
Right.
And he also says, like, I wouldn't put it past you, because Leon says he did not have sex with a doll. But Larry says, I wouldn't put it past you, which is pretty funny. So Lewis shows up. He and his girlfriend broke up. He and Isla Fisher broke up over the stole. He tried to get it from her. She cried, told him to leave. You ruined another woman for me, Larry. And this is when he says, oh, I could have had a baby with this woman. And Larry says, you're 200 years old.
The funniest
which
thing
they're at the same age. I forget. We looked this up at one point. I think they're about the same age. I don't know. But
yeah,
that's pretty funny. So yeah, can't get the stole back. So in the next scene, we find out Susie is pissed at him, as we said, because the housekeeper left and Larry took her days. Monday, Wednesday. And Susie, I guess, assumes that Larry just took them. Like, said, no, come this day. But she was leaving anyway. They have this big, long debate. This clip was on Conan. This is the clip that was on Conan with Jeff about if Larry's ever washed a dish. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's, but this is another sort of rich Hollywood thing, because Susie's like, I don't know how to do this shit, you know, because she can't even get, pick up food from a place called Metzler's. I don't know what Metzler's is, but I don't know if it's like a Wegmans kind of thing or what they got going on there.
It's like a sandwich shop.
It's a sandwich shop? Okay. And then, because Clive Owen is coming over, and and she doesn't know how to, like, you know,
she's like, I have a celebrity coming over, Larry.
Yeah. She doesn't know how to prepare this shit. She doesn't know how to, like, clean up afterwards. It's like they never – were they always famous? Like, they've never even washed a dish? Jesus. Larry says he'll help her out. But anyways, Jeff brings up that Clive Owen didn't really care for the voicemail, found it to be – insufficient praise, as the title of the episode is. So Larry has to apologize now. He's very hurt. Clive Owen is very hurt. Typical Curb fashion, really. Like, and this seems like something they would have done in Seinfeld too. But anyway, so Clive Owen does show up. They're eating the Metzlers. Larry says, "Look, I can't do voicemail. I'm really bad at it. I'm really bad at voicemail." And he's like, "So I don't." You know, Clive Owen, Frankie doesn't believe that he liked the play.
Right. He sounds insincere. Insufficient praise.
Yeah. Insufficient praise. He's like, well, if you didn't like it, why call me at all? He's like, well, no, I didn't, you know. But yeah, it's kind of like, it's definitely very similar to what you said earlier, because Jeff says with these people telling them that they're good, it's almost like your own performance. You have to perform for them.
Right.
Which is kind of, yeah. So, and he's like, well, why don't you tell me how much you liked it? And Larry's like, well, I can't do it in person. So he can't do it in person, and he can't do it on voicemail, which is kind of fun. But I get what he's saying. It's sort of like, I can't just, now it seems awkward to be like, just, I don't know, believe me, it's good. But then the funny thing is he takes a bite of the sandwich, and he loves it. And he's like, this is the best sandwich. Oh, my God. And Clive Owen storms out because he's so mad that he can be that effusive about a sandwich, but not his play. So it's, of course, that's going to come back later. Well, it's funny, too, because there was kind of a moment which I wanted to mention, and I forgot, but when he says, like, a person, when they were talking about women crying in Clive Owen's play, that's like, must be like a comedian getting a good laugh. It must do the same thing for an actor to see people get that emotionally invested. So that's kind of what does come up a little later. But anyway, in the next scene, the mailman is back, and now he's delivering a package to Ted Danson. And he says, hey, you're friends with Larry David, right? And Ted's kind of like, well, yeah, like, it's kind of like that reaction. It's kind of like, he's not really friends with him. And then he tells him about, he's like, well, he's fucking a doll. I delivered a sex doll to his house. And so Ted.
He's like, mailmen, no.
That's right. It's kind of like a Newman thing or something. It's, so Ted goes right to Cheryl's house and says, look, I'm still mad, but I'm here as a friend, and I want you to know Larry is fucking a doll. you know, that's going to obviously, again, come back. So the next scene, Larry is trying to get his stole back himself. He goes to Isla Fisher's house. It's weird that she's like, oh, hi, Larry. Like, why would she be happy to see him? But whatever, she starts crying, and, you know, she won't give it back. So That's just another, it's threes. Remember, rule of threes.
Yeah. Rule of threes.
So that was the second one. The second instance of her just crying and losing it. And she starts to, she really does like yell. Like she's like the bohemian hollering guy that this guy had on his thing.
his $1,000 or $200.
Yeah, that was like his $150. Yeah, whatever. Like she really goes, she goes like, ah, that's me. Yeah, so.
Hey, I got to hit pause for a second because if I don't plug my laptop in, it'll die.
All right. So,
let me come back. Toot sweet.
Poop, poop, bee doop.
Hello.
Hello.
And we're back.
Oh, good. All right. I plugged in mine as well.
I unplugged mine by accident. I didn't mean to.
Ah, I see.
But now everything's okay.
All right, great. All right. So the next scene, Larry sees Freddy on the street. They're just driving down the street. And he says, hey, this porn with his Uncle Mark is becoming a big problem.
You need to step up and get involved.
You need to do something about this. You were the one who started him on internet porn. And now apparently he's like, I was just trying to get him to stop spending money on magazines. He's like, yeah, but now he's spending money on those chat rooms and all that stuff. So he's like, get him off it. So he's like, all right. So, he goes, that's the next seed is the P cube. Like the P cube is a thing. It's like, we have like a sort of prototype P cube, and Larry thinks it's great. Leon says it's not big enough. If your dick is too big, it won't work.
Yeah. Always
standing way back.
It's like when he said that, his dick needs to cover his nose and dip into the, into the water. Remember that one?
Yeah. Ugh, gross. But so that's pretty. But the P cube and all that. So then Jeff shows up. Larry says, he tells Larry that Clive Owen has lost all confidence in himself. He's ready to open this play, but he can't do it. You know, he doesn't feel right because Larry's insufficient praise has ruined his whole thing.
That's right. That's right.
This whole mojo. So Larry says, hey, why don't we hire Lewis's girlfriend, the professional crier? She'll cry and everyone else will start crying and then it'll be fine.
Yeah.
So they do that. She's, of course, wearing the stole at the play. And she starts crying. Well, first, Clive Owen is not feeling it on stage. He's kind of walking into stuff and whatever. But when he starts to hear her crying, then he starts to get his mojo back. Other people in the crowd start crying. And it all works out. So that's something that, you know, doesn't always happen on Curb, but it worked out. Their little scheme worked out. So after the play, she's walking out. He walks up to her and he's like, hey, and he tries to say that, She's such a good crier that obviously the mom story is bullshit and he wants his stole back. And she's like, no. And so he tries to like take it off her. And the cop comes over and is like, hey, what's going on? And then they both start sort of crying.
Yeah.
And Larry's sort of doing an impression of her almost. Being like, oh, that's my mother stole it. So anyways, the cop lets her leave with the stole, and Clive Owen approaches her, and he's all like, oh, I wanted to say, like, how, you know, wonderful it was, and, you know, it's like he's moved, and she was like, oh, you were great, and they're, you know, clearly they got googly eyes for each other, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next scene is a little weird, because... So Larry comes home and the doll is still there, all blown up. It's in his closet, but it's still blown up. So he like takes it out. He's holding it like in a very sexual way.
Yeah.
And it's like, I gotta deflate this thing. He brings it over to his couch. He pulls the little plunger thing, you know, to get the, so the air can come out. And he's, it's very sexual. And it's like, I mean, it's so, it's too much. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you would never yeah. do that. Well, maybe, you, yeah. I don't know. But it looks like he's having sex with the thing. The housekeeper comes in. She's appalled. Cheryl walks in, sees him on top of this doll after Ted said, oh, like, you know, he's fucking, and he's trying to, he's like, no, I'm just trying to deflate it. So,
right.
Of course, the doll bites him in the ass. Not literally. I mean, that would be. Yeah. So in the next scene, which I think is funny, the housekeeper's back at Susie's house. Cleaning. So yeah, she's like in the background. They don't really make any reference to her, but she's just in the background cleaning in the kitchen. So Clive Owen is there with Isla Fisher, and they're like together. And then when she tells Clive that she's a professional crier, he's then sort of upset because he thinks that she just did it. You know, the whole thing was a lie, and even though he was so yeah. moved and everything like that, yeah, it's not yeah. true. She didn't really cry. She was only paid to cry. And they go out into the street. They kind of get in a fight. The stole goes flying into the street. The truck, there's a truck coming. It's just like the horn. It's just like the train story with her yeah. mother. It's, yeah. and she jumps full out circle. Into the street to get the stole, and then I mean, I guess we can assume, I don't know, we didn't see her get hit, but it didn't look good.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. She maybe is not gonna, you know?
Yeah, she may not be back. So it was pretty funny. But that's what happens, you know? I mean, everything comes full circle on Curb. And then just to put one final exclamation point on it, Larry brings the doll over to Uncle Mark's house. He's like, here, you got a porn problem? Here, try fucking this thing. Throws the doll at him. And Uncle Mark is okay with it, actually. Seems like he's all right with that.
Yeah, he's into it.
Yeah, so he makes out all right. And that's the end of that episode. Yeah, total Curb. Brilliant. Brilliant. I loved it.
Now, so. Are we worried about her? Do we think they're going to get real serious and she's going to die? And I don't know.
I think they'll probably just, we'll never see her again. And probably never mention her. Yeah, wow. I think that's it.
Wow.
I don't know. Well, I mean, it doesn't really come back to Larry unless Clive Owen is going to be on more episodes, which I don't, maybe he will, but I don't know.
I was just, I was thinking, like, too, like, is it all going to come to a culmination at the end? Like, when he was fighting with her and the cop, I was like, oh, here's another thing when Larry is, like, grabbing somebody's shirt without their right. consent. You know what I mean?
Maybe you're right. Maybe that will come up. I could see, like, in the last episode, having it all be, like, you know, having it all come back, everything, every incident.
Yeah.
That would probably be the way they would do it. Like, and this poor woman who ended up in the hospital or something, you know, I mean, like, something like that. They would do something like that. So, yeah, I don't know.
We shall Oof. See.
We shall see. Yeah, we shall.
What a good curb.
I thought so. I thought it was a great curb. And, yeah, I'm glad. And like I said, like the last two were fine. Like, they were great. But this was exactly, you know, this is primo.
Yeah.
So, very good. And
for? What we're looking for.
Yeah, this is what I'm looking for. And, yeah, I found out that there are such things as professional criers or professional mourners, as this guy
yeah.
calls them. So, how about that? They must have heard, someone who writes the show must have heard about that and said, we got to use that.
Right. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the episode that we're, I guess we're about halfway through. Were there 10 episodes this season, I think? I don't know. So that was 5.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, man. It's hard to believe. It seems like it just started.
I know. And then how many years are we going to have to wait for the next one?
I don't know. It's a good question.
And if he wants to still do it, who knows?
Yeah, that's another, so that's another thing.
Nobody knows.
He could decide.
He can do whatever.
Well, yeah, apparently HBO sort of gave him like a, you know, he can do whatever he wants.
I watched a little of the fatwa the other day. I was revisiting the Salmon Get Out with the distracting sign language lady because she has huge tits.
That's right.
And Lin-Manuel Miranda's like, yeah, you know, like don't blame it on the tits, Larry. That just something's not working with that number. He's like, yeah, everyone was staring at her tits.
Fatwa. That was pretty good. The fatwa, yeah.
Of course, yeah, we covered all of those in the last season.
That's right.
Of Curbcast. Look, so
go to the archives.
Get caught up.
Yeah, that's true. You should get caught up. If you didn't watch it, or even if you did and you want to revisit, you should revisit and then check out our thoughts on.
That's right.
On last season.
Salmon Get Out.
It's not about the tits, Larry. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Happy Presidents' Day. We're recording on Presidents' Day, but I suppose when you listen to this, it probably won't be Presidents' Day anymore, but that's okay.
Have one of those classic Presidents' Day hangovers. You know, calling sick to work the next day. It's like the Super Bowl.
Right. You're so happy about our president that you're celebrating.
Well, ugh. 44 of them.
I guess let's talk about that. Let's bring this, since it's President's Day, let's talk about this for a quick second because this is Curb related. This is Curb in the news.
Curb in the news.
So Larry David, now we're a few weeks behind, right? But Trump tweeted the clip of Larry wearing the MAGA hat and having the bikers yelling at him saying like, hey, what the hell, man? And then when he sees he's wearing the MAGA hat, or he puts the MAGA hat on, Larry says, oh, I'm really sorry. And the guy says, well, just be more careful. And he's all fun. And Trump thought that this was great. Like Trump thought that this was these are
complimentary thing.
Yeah. Like these are the kinds of people that support me kind of a thing or whatever he said, but it's something stupid like that. And see, like, he just completely missing the joke that Larry was using the Make America Great Again hat as a people repellent.
Yeah.
And then he even said, somebody asked him about it, like, and someone said, are you worried about offending people or turning off Trump supporters from your show by kind of, you're making fun of them? And he says, I could give a fuck if they want.
Yeah, you know? He's like, fuck them.
I think he literally said that. So I don't give a fuck if they watch. So yeah, like, good for him.
And giving them permission to alienate themselves with the hat is also
thing he did. Basically, yeah. And he's saying, he's kind of said that. He's like, are you afraid of alienating Trump supporters? He says they alienate themselves. Is kind of what he said. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny because you don't get a lot of, some people say it, and they say it in their Oscar speeches or whatever. You know what I mean? Or like Brad Pitt said something about.
They'll say like this administration or something, but he's just like, go fuck yourself.
Larry doesn't care. Go, fuck them. I hope he doesn't want them watching his show, basically, I think is what he's saying. So, I thought that was really, I thought that was great. It was very, some celebrities don't want to alienate half the country. And he doesn't care. So that was pretty interesting. I mean, it's funny too that, I mean, obviously, I suppose Trump doesn't sit down every Sunday night and watch the show, but I'm surprised that nobody brought it to his attention before now.
Right.
But it came out, I guess, last week, right? Or whenever, but he totally missed it. he missed the joke about the hat. So it's pretty hilarious. But yeah, Larry has no problem. Stuff. Maybe he should run. God, I mean, Bernie. He's basically Bernie, but
he is. He's SNL yeah. Bernie.
Yeah, it's SNL Bernie. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Bernie's picking Ronald up steam. Reagan,
the actor.
Who's vice president? Jerry Lewis. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I wonder if Bernie became president, would Larry be on Saturday Night Live like all the time? Man, he probably wouldn't have to like be. That.
Well, that's what he already acted. That's some other thing I've been noticing, is he's like, he's like, I like want to support Bernie, and I do, but he's like, I have to go back and forth to New York all the time now. That was another.
Yeah, I can see how he
curb in the news. He was like, every time he's, you know, he won New Hampshire, now I have to go back from L.A. to New York.
I mean, with all these other Democratic candidates, like none of them can seem to really do anything. So, yeah.
Let's not get into that.
All right. Yeah, we don't want to get too political.
I'm not saying I don't agree with you. I'm just saying, hey.
Yeah.
And if people don't want to listen to this, fuck them.
I've obviously will vote for whoever's running against Donald Trump. But, you know, just I don't know. I hope it's somebody good. I mean, I don't know.
Well, who I know a lot of people that went up to see the Strokes do that big rally.
Oh,
and right? I heard that was really cool.
Nice.
I love that band. That band never plays. So it's like kind of cool.
Yeah, that's great. All right. Well, anyways, that's Curb of the News. Thanks for listening, everybody. And yeah, happy President's Day. And yeah, thanks for listening. If you did, and if this is the last time, because if we alienated you, you know, I'm sorry about that.
But. Well, if we were gonna alienate somebody, they probably already turned off like a long time ago. When we were talking about some necrophilia or whatever. So.
Hey, we don't write it; we just report it.
That's right. We're just reporting the pew, 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 pew. We are Curb in the News.
That's right.
We are the news reporting on Curb. It's like a snake eating its tail.
Curb in the News. And Uber, what do they call it? Ouroboros?
Ouroboros.
Ouroboros? Snake eating its own tail? Yeah, whatever it's called. Anyways.
I had an Ouroboros down at the roast beef shack. I don't know.
Is that a cooked snake that's eating its own tail.
Yeah, yeah, and a rover roast. it definitely looks like something that would eat in the Flintstones. Big cartoony.
All right. Well, thanks, Alyssa, everybody, and
later, you fucks.
Later. All right.